The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
All right, we're here on this Tuesday. Of course, Chris Burgard joins us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about the war on truth for J6, which the upcoming president has vowed that he wants to pardon a bunch of them. Do you think it's fair? I do. I think the whole thing was a trap because there were FBI informants all over the place, according to the Inspector General's report. The whole thing was a setup. It was a trap. Nobody bothered to bring up entrapment, and if they did, the courts wouldn't listen to it. So, as far as the J6 stuff is concerned, remains to be seen. We'll talk to Chris at the bottom of the hour about that. Now, we talked yesterday about what would happen, potentially, if you decided that you would shoot down one of these drones. I'm not saying that it's right, but would the government end up on your doorstep if you shot down a drone? Well, if a drone is bothering you, there is a, these are the things the mainstream media doesn't report. There's this guy in Florida, lives in Lake County. His name's Dennis Wynn. He's 72 years old. And apparently there was a drone hovering near his home and it bothered him. So he shot it with his 9mm handgun and blew it out of the sky. It was about 75 feet above his house. And of course, this drone is part of Walmart's mock delivery trial in collaboration with DroneUp to deliver products from Walmart via drone. If you were going to launch something like this, why the heck didn't you tell everybody you were going to do it? Here we are. He's outside, Dennis Wynn, cleaning his pool. Normal. You would do that sort of thing at this time of the year in Florida, right? And so this drone up came about 75 feet from him. And the former fire captain mistook the drone for a surveillance device targeting his property. Heard this whirring noise, looked up, saw it, retrieved his firearm, aimed, fired one precise shot, hitting the drone, rendering it inoperable. And of course, law enforcement came to his door. Wynn had no idea who owned it, and all he said was, "I must be a good shot." Well, guess what? The drone, estimated to cost $10,000, was conducting mock deliveries in the neighborhood as part of Walmart's efforts to expand its drone delivery services. Maybe we need to rethink that, given all the garbage that's going on right now. According to DroneUp employees, the drone was operating at legal altitudes and was not capturing video of residential properties. But Wynn didn't know that, and Wynn didn't report any of his prior drone-related concerns to law enforcement, opting instead to voice them to his homeowners association. His actions led to charges of criminal mischief and discharging a firearm in public. This is what I mean. See, the cops, they're like shoot first, ask questions later, too. You got all this garbage coming on with this growing drone-related mystery in New Jersey, which, of course, upcoming President Trump says, you know, the government knows all about it. The government would not allow anything to go on without it knowing about it in the first place. We already know that. We'll get to the bottom of it. You see, the whole idea is to cause a panic prior to the changing of the guard, regime change, as Tulsi Gabbard would put it. And in the middle of all this, President Trump, I call him that because he's the president-elect, and we're all assuming that nothing is going to happen before J6 or J20, where the swearing-in will occur, that Trump will indeed take over as president again. And every time I go to the post office and I buy a roll of stamps, I ask for them by name. Do you have any forever bankrupt stamps? And the clerks look at me and they start giggling, sniggering, because they know. It's common knowledge amongst all full-time postal employees that the U.S. Postal Service was $9 billion in the hole last year. They know this already. So what is Trump proposing to do? Privatizing the U.S. Postal Service so it's no longer a government agency. That means there won't be any government subsidies, which means they're going to be on their own. Now, what does that mean? I mean, this DOGE cost-cutting effort could occur. Advocates fear without the Postal Service's universal service obligation, which means it has to provide delivery to people regardless of the profitability of doing so, rural and remote communities are going to be impacted, small businesses are going to suffer without the ability to send parcels at USPS rates, which are often cheaper than other carriers. Well, that means that if he privatizes it, it would be good for UPS and FedEx. And if you combine the two, it's called FedUp. All right. So anyway, aside from that, you got to wonder what these folks have in mind. I mean, why do we even have to subsidize the U.S. Postal Service? A lot of people don't like getting mail at their homes. It is, from all intents and purposes, what I consider to be a public benefit. And it's everybody's entitled to it. Why would you want to privatize something that we have come to know and accept, I didn't say love, as a public benefit? I mean, somebody is driving by, it says U.S. Mail. Amazing how that works. U.S. Mail, it says on the car, right? U.S. Mail, and you assume it means United States, as in government agency. The U.S. government owns it. It is a corporation, folks. Just like every other court, every other agency, every other division of government is incorporated into its own entity. They're living and surviving in Article 1 administrative forums. Every one of them. And what do we do? Do we ever bring that up in court? You know, I know Attorney Lawrence Wren did when he was being charged and arraigned. He says, is this the corporate criminal court? And the judge threw his case out. Why would he do that? Well, because he called it out. Which court is this? Is not an Article 3 constitutional court. This is an Article 1 administrative court. And that's the way all these courts are. Probate courts are the same way. In Texas, judges have to be bonded to the tune of $650,000 if they're going to sit on a corporate court bench. And unfortunately, if they get, like any other judge, outside the purview, their legal purview, and they do something or say something because I'm a judge and I've got power and I'm a female judge and I have a bigger you-know-what than men do and I have power and I'm gonna. And so, one of our attorneys in our network, apparently from what I'm understanding from emails I'm reading this morning, there's a probate judge going to bring a bar complaint against this attorney because it's not the way she's ruling, it's the way she is threatening his client with jail time if she doesn't surrender and get rid of the tax liens that she paid for on a property that's in probate right now. I mean, come on, this is how they use contempt of court as a threatening mechanism, you see. Any father paying child support knows how that works, which causes fathers to flee the state. And you wonder, because it's only a bench warrant for child support, so you wonder how this whole thing works. This is our corporate system, folks. The corporate court requires a bond for the judge. And anybody that wants to get into that needs to research because, see, we're doing a lot of that right now because people in the pro se community are starting to sue judges. Attorneys won't do it. They're scared. They don't want to get written up and, dragged in before the bar because the attorneys, the bar is an Article 1. Bar is an administrative law. That's not constitutional. It's a nonprofit corporation. People don't know it. It's a good old boy club. And all these judges are members of the bar. So, no, they all got to stick together. So if you're an attorney, you don't bring a lawsuit against a judge. So what does that mean? That means that Americans have to bring a lawsuit against a judge, pro se, as oneself. You see, that's another administrative term that they like to throw around. The Patriot movement likes to use the word in propria persona, sui juris. I mean, when you put stuff like that on an administrative pleading, you know what happens? The judges go, one of those. Yeah, they ramp up for stuff like this, folks. Yet we continue to play this stupid game instead of just coming right out and striking at the heart of where the problem is. A judge who thinks they're all that plus a bag of chips. We'll be back to talk about home sales and the almighty Zillow and what it knows after these messages. Stay with us.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
All right, back in the saddle at 18 after the hour. Of course, now we just heard that little thing from Rand Paul about when companies or countries ruin their currency. Bitcoin, by the way, it rallied up to $107,148. That's a session high. And, of course, that happened after President-elect Trump reiterated he plans to create a U.S. Bitcoin strategic reserve, similar to its strategic oil reserve, stoking the enthusiasm of crypto bulls. Yeah. And, of course, the number two digital currency, Ether, was up 1.85% at $39.75.70. Of course, now all the analysts are saying, oh, we're in blue sky territory here. Don't worry. What goes up must come down. And, of course, as Brady reminded us yesterday on the show, if you just look at FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, you look at all of that and what happened with it and how people got ripped off, you really want to invest in Bitcoin? I mean, see, the government is doing this because they want to move in on your privacy. And, of course, now they have, of course, these major markets out there. If you engage in real estate in any of these major markets where real estate is hugely priced, well, you have to fill out certain forms at closing, declaring the income. You see, they're out to get you any way they can. IRS has noted that it's raked in $4.7 billion through enhanced tax enforcement since its funding boost. Well, if you're going to complain to your congressperson or President Trump or his cabinet, the new Treasury Secretary, like he's going to listen to you. Yeah, Scott Bessent is a hedge fund manager. Oh, he's very well positioned. These guys are all billionaires running the cabinet up there. Now, it may be, you know, they how they look at us. You know, it's like the average human down here that doesn't live in Washington, D.C. and the struggles that we have to go through. And now we've got these jackbooted fascist thugs at the IRS banging on people's doors, demanding they pay money. You know, and if you get a call, by the way, because this gets really popular, now that the IRS is announcing, yes, we have all these employees and these criminal investigation division people, they carry guns. Ooh, I'm scared. And if you shoot one of them, you know, you're going to prison for the rest of your life. So, you know, it's just like, oh, well, we have to do something to scale this down. I say, let all these government employees go to work for a living. I say they need to just clean house and get rid of half of the government employees out there and let them all go find jobs in the private sector, since our private sector is so wonderful. You know, economy is so good, according to Biden. Let's eliminate half of government employees and see just how far we get. Man, they'll be fighting for minimum wage jobs, trying to stay alive. Whole country will fall apart. You see, there is no happy medium when you've got 4 years of government tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend. When you got 4 years of that, and then bringing all these illegals into the country and giving them $9,000 debit cards? And Congress has to deliberately, I mean, it's not Congress, it's the Fed. It's a private company. It's a banking cartel. They raise the interest rate so that nobody can borrow. They're de-incentivized to borrow money. Why? Because the government's borrowing all the money at a Fed's discount rate. So it can spend like a drunk sailor in a strip club. It's the way it works. You cannot trust politicians. Politicians spend money they don't have. They're famous for it. And when they make one promise, you know they're going to just ignore it when they get there. They just want to get elected. They'll say anything you want to hear. So we have become one of the best Congresses money can buy because we have lobbyists in Washington with an agenda. And that means that Congress people can go in and make $100,000 a year. But yet they get all these, well, let's set up a trust fund. You know, see, that's why the Hollywood made the Distinguished Gentleman. That's why Hollywood made Man of the Year. All these different movies. That's why, because it's in your face. Just like surveillance state. That's why Hollywood created Person of Interest. So they can tell you, we've got cameras everywhere. We're spying on you. We're going to figure out a way where we can control everyone in America. And everybody just decidedly by and says, I haven't done anything wrong. See how that works? Yet, you know, you got a guy shooting down a drone. Look what happens. I told you they'd show up at your door and demand money. This guy's on the hook for about $5,000 worth of damage. Lake County Sheriff showed up at his door, said, you know, you shouldn't have done that, sir. So now he's facing criminal charges. I wonder if he's going to be smart enough to ask whether or not he's in a constitutional court or whether he's in an Article I administrative court. What if he's going to be smart enough to do that, Mr. Wynn? Are you paying attention? You know, they don't get it. You know, you hire an attorney who's an administrative bar card holder to represent you in court. You know, I mean, maybe the court will appoint you a public pretender. That's what I call them. Not a public defender. I call them public pretenders because they're all part of the same game. They all have bar cards. They can all be threatened by the judge who's also a bar card holder. And of course, the almighty Zillow is predicting home sales to jump in 2025 as mortgage rates fall. You know, why is that? Because Trump's going to make sure that we, through Vivek and Elon, are going to make sure that we cut down on spending drastically in government. We need to eliminate half the government jobs. You can do that by eliminating certain agencies. You can eliminate by restructuring agencies like the ATF, the FBI, the IRS. You restructure them. You eliminate the number of these confidential informants. We don't need these confidential, you know, whatever they are, criminal investigative. I said confidential informant because I'm thinking about J6 and Chris Burgard in the next half hour. You know, this problem we have about the government, you know, this is tyranny. Remember what the constitutionalists said about tyranny? You know, when people fear the government, you have tyranny. Well, that apparently is what's going on here. And so, you know, you see all these drones flying. You know our government's involved in it. Can we just, like, get a clue and move on? We already know what they're doing. You know, if we call up and start complaining, what's this drone flying over my house? Remember what I said. If you take a shot at one of them, I'm talking about these late-night incursions. I like that's a Biden term. He likes to use the word incursion, like a little incursion into Ukraine if you want to use it into a sentence. And look what happened. You see, they want World War III to happen. They don't understand that it's going to mean their own demise because, you know, even though that Igor Kirillov, their Russian nuclear defense minister and his assistant were just killed by a, what I call a roadside bomb. It was planted in one of these scooters and they got close to it. And it got remotely detonated and killed both of them. And of course the Ukrainians are taking credit for it. So the guy's a war criminal. He deserved to die. Well, see now Putin, you know, what are they going to do about that? Tit for tat? Are they going to launch an incoming nuke on the presidential palace over in Kyiv and take out Zelensky? What are they going to do? You see, they want World War III to happen so they don't have to install Trump as president. They're doing everything they can in their power to spend, so it makes it more difficult for him to help the country recover. And that's why they're going to have to start eliminating agencies. Now, I'd like to know what mortgage rates are going to fall to. Because the number, here's Zillow, the almighty God Zillow, expects 4.606 million homes are going to be sold in 2024, which is expected to increase to 4.16 million next year. All right, so a 2.2% next year in 2025 is what home values are predicted to rise according to almighty God Zillow. Now, who are these people? You see, this is the media again digging up stuff. And in order to make itself popular, Zillow has to put itself out there. The company sees new listings and for sale inventory to continue to improve. However, the rate of improvement would depend heavily on the direction of mortgage rates, according to almighty God Zillow. The report said late summer dip in rates improved home sales in the second half because buyers and sellers took advantage of the situation. Are you kidding? Fixed rate mortgages at 7.22% in May, down to 6.08 in late September. And the rates, of course, picked up again. They're at 6.6%. Who wants to go out and borrow at 6.6 now? Redfin predicts home prices are going to rise by 4% in 2025, double Zillow's forecast. That's only certain areas, folks. Florida is still continuing to drop. Now, you wouldn't know that by looking on Realtor.com, because all these houses that are for sale right now are marked up. But there are houses that have been destroyed by hurricanes and whatnot, as you know. And it could have been by design, maybe not. Gives, you know, conspiracy theorists something to talk about. But the problem is we still have Freddie and Fannie and Ginny. Those are the three GSEs out there. I'm not talking about Sally. That's all student loans. They're securitizing mortgages and getting people to buy into this thing. Why are these investors behaving the way they are and continuing to fund programs like these with these government-sponsored entities? Why are they doing it? Because they can make money because Fannie, Freddie, and Ginny and their servicers will continue to foreclose on properties until they have all of them. And then the government controlled the entire housing market. Isn't that amazing how that works? That's kind of where we're seeing it go. Doesn't matter what almighty Godzilla is predicting. You know, and even the National Association of Realtors is jumping into the game, and they're listing which housing markets are going to be the most favorable for buyers. Hottest markets for 2025, Boston, Cambridge, Newton, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Charlotte, Concord, Gastonia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Grand Rapids, Kentwood, Michigan, Greenville, Anderson, South Carolina, Hartford, East Hartford, Middletown, Connecticut. These are all blue state. Of course the rates are going to be so high you can't even function. Kansas City, Knoxville, Phoenix, and San Antonio are also in that list. You got to love that, huh? We'll be back with Chris Burghardt after the news break here on the Krieger Files. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
All right, back after the news break here on this Tuesday edition, Chris Burghardt joins us from the Lone Star State. If you don't know who Chris is, he is the director of a film called The War on Truth, unbiased January 6th documentary. He is a Texan award-winning filmmaker, made his 1986 Hollywood debut as Matthew Broderick's dance double in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Well, now there's an award for you. He quickly landed recurring guest roles in the popular 90s shows, Growing Pains and Tour of Duty, and then appeared in numerous TV and movie roles over the next several decades. He directed the prescient films Border, which screened for Congress in 2007, Death County and the River of Broken Dreams, that screened for Congress in 2023. He also directed Capital Punishment, Everything They Told You About J6 Was a Lie. I have a copy of that video, for which he did not earn an Oscar, but did end up being investigated by the FBI as a national security threat to the U.S. after a big tip was called into the National Threat Operations Center. Obviously from people that this happened in 2021, right, Chris?
Yes, 2022 they came after me. Yep.
Ah, all right. So my show notes
what was so funny about that is, they could have come after me a lot earlier, but I was back on the border doing that movie with Tom Homan, and we just opened up this whole child trafficking thing that Joe Biden started. And it's funny, then I get home and the next day the FBI is coming a quarter mile in my ranch in Texas. So, you know, you got to look at the timing. You know, it's such a game they play, man. It's just not cool.
Well, it isn't. And now that, you know, that Christopher Wray is leaving office and Kash Patel is slated to take over, provided they can get him past the Senate. The thing is, I don't see a problem with Kash Patel. I met the man. I think he's, being the former national security advisor to Trump, he is a Trump loyalist, and I just don't see him beating up on Americans like this particular DOJ did. Now, Pam Blondie, I don't know. I have my doubts about her as Attorney General. If she gets in, it'll be because of politics. This is a thing that bothers me. But see, the war on truth, I mean, it's still there. We still have people in prison. And this Democratic administration, you just indicated to me during the break, is still picking people up. Is that right? What do you know about it?
Yeah, they are actually. Yeah, arrests are still going out. You know, some folks in California that got arrested just recently. And look, this is, everything is falling apart. When you and I first talked a while ago, you know, the stuff that is in War and Truth sounded black helicopter conspiracy. You know, one of the things we put in the movie was there were so many FBI assets out there that day that accounting had a tough time figuring out how many they had to pay that day. I mean, that's in the movie. It's like yesterday's conspiracy theories are becoming today's spoiler alerts. It's an amazing time to be alive. And look what happened last week with Christopher Wray. Okay, first they put out that there were 26 assets, FBI assets out there, which to me that's a CYA number. There was way more than that. And you're not even looking at what other assets were out there from DHS, DEA, and other agencies. But Ray, that comes out, and then Ray announces officially that he's resigning. You think that's a coincidence? Not on your life. That's a CYA admission, hoping that people go, okay, yeah, that's no news, and they'll go on, and he won't be prosecuted. We'll see. Cash is a spot-on guy. You and I both know him, and he's smart, and he's passionate, and I'm just hoping that when he gets in, he'll send me a text saying, hey, don't worry about that investigation, you and your family, that's over now. You can rest easier. Cash is going to do the right thing. I just hope they go big enough on this. Because if you see the War on Truth movie, you see not only the persecution of American people, you see not only how they've treated Americans, you know, decorated military veterans, decorated cops, arrested, thrown into prison for over two years waiting on trial. And it's insane. You see what they do, you know, women losing their unborn children, the whites, a single mom, biracial kids from Minnesota. She tries to stop the people that are attacking the Capitol building. She gets dragged in. She gets beat 31 times by a police officer with a metal baton, cracks her face open. And then you see how this was designed and how many levels they had to this and how the same people need to be invested. The people that need to be investigated are some of the same people that were part of taking over the Ukrainian government in 2014, thereby making that a dress rehearsal for what happened on January 6th. So I'm praying that we have a real investigation in this. I hope DOJ and Cash have real transparency. I'd like to see Nuremberg-type televised trials so people can see what happened. Because until people see it, they don't believe it.
Well, the bigger picture here is I'd like to see, in fact, if I was somebody in the background shaking in my shoes, it would be the Capitol Police cop Byrd who shot Ashley Babbitt. I really think that the DOJ is, you know, the future DOJ is looking. He's on a list of people they're going to investigate because this guy apparently has a bad conduct rap sheet as a cop. And he's been just given too many go passes in his line of duty and his behavior. So I really think that needs to be part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can, there's not, and you'll see in the movie, you know, we've got FBI experts, we've got military experts. There's no one in the movie that thinks that was a good shooting. And you also might want to investigate Officer Lila Morris, the DC Metro officer that beat Roseanne Boylan while she's already unconscious on the ground. And there's eyewitness testimony that the third blow she delivered to her head was the one that killed her. You know, instead of investigating her, they put her in Byrd and they sent him to the Super Bowl. And tried to make them all heroes. So there's so much coming. And one thing I want your audience to remember, if they haven't seen the movie yet, there's a fellow in the movie that he should go down in history as a hero. His name is Lieutenant Tariq Johnson. And as Tariq says, everybody on the ground that day, the MAGA supporters and the Capitol Police were set up. And you see in the movie how they were denied in the intelligence that would have prevented all this, that could have been more prepared. And what this guy did, you're going to see footage in this movie that shows Ashley Babbitt upholding her oath as a soldier to defend the Constitution. Seconds before her death, she was attacking the largest, most violent guy that was in that hall who was trying to break into the Capitol that day. She punched him. She knocked his glasses off just seconds before she hears gun and she goes through that open window. She died a hero. And what Tariq Johnson did that day was he saw what was happening, and the use of deadly force continuum for the Capitol Police is you're only allowed to use deadly force if you're protecting bodies, senators, congressmen. If it's just real estate, you're not allowed to shoot to kill. Tariq is on the radio for 20 minutes trying to get permission from Yogananda Pittman, the same woman that held up the intelligence going to the force, asking for permission to clear the Senate and to clear the House floor. He doesn't get it. Finally, he says, I'm making the call. I'm taking it on my own. He disobeys protocol, and he starts clearing, and because he's a good leader, his officers follow them. They clear the Senate, and they clear the House. Why this is important, if he would have done that 15, 20 minutes earlier, Byrd would not have been able to shoot that unarmed woman because the rules of engagement would have changed. If he had done it 20 minutes later, and all these people that were storming into the House and the Senate chambers had come through, you would have had a bloodbath. You would have had dead Americans with their blood running all down the floors of Congress. And I believe 110%, that's what the original plan was. And this one Capitol Police lieutenant, Tariq Johnson, screwed up their plans.
Well, and I blame Pelosi for that, and I blame Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., for that. I mean, they all have the opportunity to bring in National Guard from Trump. Now they're trying to pin it on him. It's all his fault because he told everybody to go to the Capitol. That's a bunch of hogwash as well. And we already know, and I think most of America, depending on which side of the aisle you're on, has accepted that this was not a violent insurrection. It was a riot. It turned into one because of people on the ground that pushed others into that direction, like Ray Epps. You know,
correct.
People like that.
All
these different informants and stuff. I mean, you covered that in your movie.
It's what we call a captured operation. And in the first film, we did an allegory for it where we herded cattle, which is pretty much like what happened that day. And when you take a look at the footage and you see what's on War and Truth, you can see the infiltrators that are in there. It's easy to tell who the MAGA people are and who the infiltrators are. Their job was to go in, create violence, and harness the energy of the crowd, rile people up, get good people to do stupid things, and take the head of the snake and do this operation. And that's exactly what happened. And after 4 years of looking at this footage, we look at it like it's not just, you know, it's easy to tell who's a MAGA supporter and who's an infiltrator, but then you try to figure out what level are these guys at. Are they just the hoopla heads that are the Antifa BLM folks in MAGA clothes, or are they paid Antifa, or are they government contractors? Are they FBI assets, DHS assets? Are they military? That's the kind of stuff we're looking at in there because that's how deep this went.
No doubt. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, listen to a couple of commercials. We'll be back on the other side of the break to continue our conversation with Chris Burgard, the director of the documentary The War on Truth, unbiased January 6th documentary, right here on the Krieger Files on this Tuesday edition. Stay with us. Be right back.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits. Recognizing the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips, anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
Okay, back from that quick commercial break, and I'm glad Liberty News Radio put that out there because I too have a news feed on there. It's called an RSS feed, and you can go there and you can access the show. I usually try to get it posted by noon that day, and this interview with Chris Burgard, in case you missed all or part of it, will be available there. So you can go listen to it again. Chris Burgard is the director of the documentary film, The War on Truth, Unbiased January 6th documentary. He also directed Capital Punishment. Everything they told you about J6 was a lie. And, of course, the FBI investigated him and may still be. What's the status on that? What have you heard so far about that, Chris?
Nothing. You know, we went through a couple of rounds of stuff with my attorneys after the FBI, when they pulled a fast one. You know, when they first came to my ranch, and I called them, and they said they wanted me to come in for questioning. And I said, okay, I'll come with my attorneys. I want to film the whole thing so that nothing's taken out of context. They said, okay. Got my attorneys together, gave them all the information. And then they went around my attorneys and tried to get me to come down to the Texas investigations just one county over. And while this was going on, I have a very good constitutional sheriff in our county. I didn't leave the county till this got stabilized. So their answer was, oh, we just thought it'd just take a few minutes, and we just wanted you to come in. We didn't want to bother your attorneys. And I was like, holy crap, are you kidding me? Like, my dad graduated from the FBI Academy in Quantico, Virginia. This isn't my first rodeo. I've done three projects with General Michael Flynn. I saw what you guys do to him. I'm not going to get Flynn. So we back and forth with them for a month or two, and then when we answered everything they wanted, we said, okay, is this investigation now closed? And they said, we don't know. We're sending it back to D.C., and it's up to D.C. So for the last 2 years, we've just been in limbo. But, you know, God has a funny way of doing things. You know, people talked about us making a sequel, and I just didn't feel it, and that was, sometimes God whispers in your ear, and if you don't hear him, he taps you on the shoulder. If you're still not listening, he punches you in the stomach. Well, my gut punch was having the FBI come a quarter mile in my ranch in Texas saying, go make the movie. Because if they're doing this to you, what are they doing to other folks out there? And as you saw in The War on Truth, it's pretty darn bad.
Well, to me, they're pathological liars, and the whole agency needs to be restructured. They need to eliminate half of them. Now, I realize that there's a purpose for it, but the thing is it is a separate corporation. It operates under Article 1 administrative law, and this is, you know, it's not constitutional by any means. They basically just go do what they want, including lying to consumers. They tell them one thing, but really their intentions are whatever the DOJ tells them to do. So I'm just hoping that we can turn things around here, but there are still people locked up in the D.C. gulag. I think Julie Kelly's been reporting on some of them, but, you know, it's been scant as far as her reports now. Has everyone that's locked up in the gulag there in D.C., have they all been to trial yet? What do you know about that?
I believe they have. And don't forget, it's not just the D.C. gulag. After the rest, they're put in federal penitentiaries all over the country. But they're still arresting people. This is an ongoing thing. They had a list. They were really specific, but they were going to go after everybody that was in the restricted area. If Trump wouldn't have come in here, and if Cash wouldn't be coming in, this would be a very dark, dark period for the United States of America. Because they consider the restricted area to be the entire lawn around the Capitol, which is never restricted. You know, there was tape up, but it was gone before the crowds got there, so no one knew. But they say ignorance is no excuse for obeying the law, not obeying, for disobeying the law, and they were going to go after thousands and thousands of people.
Well, they were at the Ellipse, and I guarantee you Biden will not be there before J6 at the Ellipse making a speech to everybody, tell them to go peacefully to the Capitol. I guarantee you that's not going to happen because the guy, you know, he's probably going to be taking a nap at that point in time. About certifying the election, I mean, do you see anything going on with that?
Well, Dave, here's the deal. If Joe Biden did get out there at the Ellipse and make an address, I'm sure that the six people that would show up to listen to him will probably run out of steam before they walk the mile up to the Capitol building. I'm not saying all these guys are that out of shape, but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, see, and I'm telling people, please, whatever you do, let's not have a repeat performance of this. We don't need you getting your guns and going to the Capitol now. I mean, if Antifa wants to show up, you know, Capitol Police will have to deal with them, and I guarantee you that all those agents provocateur won't be in the crowd. We already know that.
No, exactly. There will be no. There's the victory. The victory was won on Election Day, and the thing is like the left is saying, oh, the Trump people are going to come in, and it's retribution and vengeance and blah blah. No, we just want things to be right. You know, we just want things to follow the rule of law and order. And let's hope President Trump and Cash can do their jobs. Let's hope Pam Bondi has as much steel in her that it takes to get the job done.
Well, I know that she is a Trump loyalist, and the thing is I've had experiences with her office previous to us having this discussion here, and I don't doubt her integrity, but she pick and chooses her battles, and a lot of them do. I mean, it's politics. I mean, we already know that. And I just hoping that, you know, we get the type of retribution. I'm just wondering now that Merrick Garland, I think he's just sore because he didn't get nominated to the Supreme Court and appointed to the Supreme Court. My whole contention with him is, what is to stop all of these families who have been affected by decisions that Merrick Garland and his team have done? What's to stop them from suing Merrick Garland when he gets out of office and literally putting the man into the poorhouse in legal fees? Bury him.
What a wonderful question. I don't know if he's got immunity when they come out of office for doing that sort of stuff. If you'd asked me 2 years ago, I would have said, oh, he's got immunity. But after seeing what they did to President Trump, I think the battlefield space has changed.
Yeah, well, I know the landscape has, and that, you know, that bothers me. And everybody's got, you know, speculation, but like you said before, what's the difference between conspiracy theory and the truth? 6 months. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, it's a given. It's a given for everybody. And so, you know, I wonder, as far as the actual evidence goes, how many of the War on Truth, how many views, how many media kits, how many people have you been able to measure the number of people that have actually watched both the movies you directed?
Yeah, it's been completely stepped on. You know, when we came out with Capital Punishment at the end of 2021, it came out for 2022. The first couple of months, it just took off. We're talking hundreds of thousands of people saw this movie. And then it got stepped on, and all our platforms got shut down. When we came out with Capital Punishment, when we came out with The War and Truth, we faced that right away. This movie, I've never seen censorship like this. You had pastors on Facebook with 1.3 million followers saying, hey, you got to see this movie. It should be taught in schools to our children. Boom, their accounts are gone the next day. J.D. Rivera, who's a Marine veteran who's in the movie, he had a TikTok account with 110,000 followers. The movie opens up. He says, hey, I'm in this movie. Go see it. Boom, his account gets killed the next day. We see this stuff all over the place. And quite frankly, there's a lot of good patriotic folks and influencers out there that are afraid to talk about this movie because they were too worried what the Biden administration and the FBI would do to them. Now that Trump has gotten elected, we're starting to see that fear leave. So I'm pretty confident that going into the next year, we're going to be able to get this movie out for more people.
Well, knowing what you know, Chris, about the War on Truth, about J6 and everything else, I mean, you've done all the research, you know all the backstories, or at least a majority of them, some of the people that we have not been able to get to talk to about stuff like this. Steve Baker did a lot of investigative work on this stuff, and they arrested him as well. So, I mean, when you're looking at stuff like this and the blowback that is going to come out of it, and people are waiting, what really bothers me, what's the old saying in the commercial about it really chaps my hide? Since you're living in Texas, that would be appropriate. Is all these people who were censoring and shutting down on the internet are now all chumming up to Trump. What do you make of that?
Well, they're kissing butt. You know, they're feeling the political winds changing. And there are people in Washington, D.C., or people who have recently left Washington, D.C., like Representative Cheney, that should be pooping in their pants right now. Because if they decide to investigate these folks and come after them, they're in trouble. They're in big trouble.
Well, I think the J6 committee needs to be prosecuted because of the fact that, I mean, there are sitting congressmen now that were on that committee. you know, like Benny Johnson, the chair of it. I mean, all these people need to be investigated because they literally whitewashed the whole thing and tried to pin it on Trump. Everything was pinned on Trump. Obviously, it backfired, like all these lawsuits, and now you've got this judge in York saying, oh, no, Trump is not immune from criminal prosecution. I anticipate that prior to January 6th, they're going to try to pull some stunt involving this case. I know that what's-her-face, the Attorney General from New York, Letitia James, isn't going to let go of that, you know, what she claimed to be was a whitewash on Deutsche Bank, even though Deutsche Bank admitted, hey, we came to him. He didn't come to us. You know, we loved what he what the answers he gave, and, you know, we didn't think there was anything wrong. So, you know, I mean, he's a CEO. He's a businessman. He's a crappy politician. But I think that after the first administration, he's learned a lot of how politics functions. And so I'm just hoping for your sake, Chris Burggard, that more and more people get to watch this movie and that these idiots out there that censored you are going to come to their senses and let it get back out there so more and more people can watch it. And we appreciate your being on the show today. There you have it. We're done for today, folks. We'll be back with a Hump Day edition tomorrow here in the Krieger Files. In the meantime, go shop at the Squirrel General store. Go to thekriegerfiles.com. Leave us a message if you like the show, any comments you have about it. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.